everyone. Welcome to a, I'm going to say a special edition of I Could Talk Kayfabe. I'm Joe.
I'm Sean. Why is it special?
It's special because it's different.
Oh.
And different is special. And it's, so it's an interesting magazine. It's the Pro Wrestling Illustrated 25th Anniversary Magazine, 1979 to 2004.
Right.
And the Hulkster graces their cover for a record 81st time.
That's a lot of times to be on a magazine cover.
So here's an interesting thing about this magazine. So this magazine was 2004.
Yep.
I moved out here in 2005. So that means I bought this magazine in Buffalo.
Wait, is this your personal copy?
Yes. I this is definitely my personal copy.
Oh.
So I bought it in Buffalo and thought enough of it to take it to California.
Oh, it's awesome though.
So
yeah, I'm glad you did.
Yeah. So that is something, because like I probably moved it out here and then like didn't even touch it since. And then when we started doing this podcast, I just started grabbing all my old magazines that I had laying around, and this somehow found its way into the collection again.
Yeah.
And now we're going to talk about it, and I'm glad we're going to talk about it. It's going to be different than our normal format, because the magazines are different than its normal format.
Yeah, it's not really like based on like actual stories.
Yeah,
there's more just based on it's a lot of lists, because it's 25th anniversary, so they have a lot of 25 lists, you know, and they got 20 a lot of stuff based on 20 counting 25 different items or whatever. And also what was great about this magazine, because I did buy this too off the newsstand as well, I did buy this, I actually went straight from taping an episode of Monday Night Mayhem with the Big Mosh. I think it Tops, and I bought this, and it came polybagged with the first ever issue of Pro Wrestling Illustrated.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that, and that issue seems to have this. I might have just like threw that one out or something, because it's not with this magazine.
No, for a second,
it didn't make the move.
Well, for a second, sure. I thought it was included in this
yeah.
book, but it's not.
No, I remember the polybag.
Yeah,
yeah, I don't have that one.
So basically, the cover of this book is, you know, you got a lot of people's names in the background or whatever, and then you have Hulk Hogan on the cover, and he's holding up an issue of Pro Wrestling Illustrated from, looks like, June 1991 of a, I don't know how to describe it. It's just an overly exaggerated muscle drawing artist's rendition of Hulk Hogan. It says America's Hero, and this is right before WrestleMania 7. That was right before WrestleMania 7. And
Just like totally jacked Hulk Hogan, like shredded beyond belief. Like
yeah.
no human being's that shredded.
Hulk Hogan could never get that shredded. I mean,
Hulk Hogan's actually that shredded now, but really. Like,
I think he is, yeah.
Yeah, he's actually got abs now, which is kind of funny. He never had abs his entire career. Now, like, he like show you, like, you look at his Facebook and stuff, and he's posing, and he's like got abs.
Hey, you know what? I'm glad to see him. You know, I for a while, I mean, granted, you know, his back is shot beyond all belief,
yeah.
but
which is why I think he works out his core and his abs, because like his back is shot.
Yeah.
So he needs to like really work it out, and just so he can function day to day life.
Yeah. So this is, I actually do want to say 2004. So this is back when you still could order old back issues of wrestling magazines.
Well,
print copies.
Pro Wrestling Illustrated, you still can up, like they still sell the back issues, like, so you can still do that today.
Well, actually, I'm sorry, I almost forgot. We should just talk about the cover exactly. What it's a homage, because Hogan is Hogan holding up this other PWA magazine with him on.
Yeah,
and it's basically an homage to the 35th anniversary
of Sports Illustrated.
Yeah. It's pretty much exactly the same, but instead of Hogan, it's...
You could do it.
It's pretty much Muhammad Ali.
Muhammad Ali, there you go.
Muhammad Ali, and he's holding up a mission. And actually, but the text even, I just noticed this, the text is exactly the same.
Yeah, it's all the same.
Because it says, you know, 1954 to 1989, oh, what memorable years they've been. And basically it says the same thing for the PWI one, 1979
yeah.
to 2004. And the Champ Ali graces our cover for the 31st time, and Hulk Hogan graces our cover for an 81st time. That's a crazy number.
R.I.P. Muhammad Ali.
So we'll just kind of go through this, and we'll kind of pick and choose the stuff that we want to talk about, because there's a lot of content in here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, it's fun, but there's a lot of it. I did want to point out this awesome Paul Heyman action figure that looks like he's wearing a North Face jacket that you could have got back in 2004.
What the heck's on his head?
It's a hat.
Oh, yeah.
He's wearing a hat. He's wearing a baseball cap. That's what he wore.
Yeah.
I do want to say, so here's a bunch of lists. Let's jump right into one of these lists here. How about this one? The 25 most pathetic PWI stories.
Yes.
Because we like stuff that goes wrong.
Yeah.
So this
a lot of stuff goes wrong.
I do. Well, I'll pick one here. Sid Justice, The Second Coming of Hulk Hogan. I did have this issue with it. And basically, you know, they say, you know, when it's from and everything, and there's a key expert, the Hulk Hogan, The Second Coming of Hulk Hogan has finally arrived, and his name is Sid Justice. Really? And then in retrospect, yeah, really, stupid statement, because Sid didn't do much more after this article was written, after that article was written, I mean, at least WWF. I mean, he did go on to do, you know, if 2004, well, no, he was already world champ a bunch of times by the time this was written, so mm-hmm. I don't know, I mean, he did okay, broke his leg on, you know, pay-per-view, but...
Yeah.
What's your favorite one?
I got my eye on this one. Headline, our offbeat plan to make the Z-Man the man.
Taking the Z off his name.
October 92. Yeah, let's just take the Z off his name. He's the man. It's obvious that the Z-Man, Tom Zank, has the skills and stamina to be a top contender for the WCW world title. But something seems to hold him back. In retrospect, was that something or some things, as in many things? This certainly was an offbeat plan concocted by heel columnist Eddie Ellner, but it would have been really, really offbeat to make Tom Zank a world champ.
He wasn't bad. I don't hate Tom Zank.
You know? I don't see him winning a world championship, though.
I mean, if you built him up, he was former TV champion. I actually have a very distinct memory of him winning the title from Arn Anderson. With his patented top rope drop kick.
Yeah,
that was he was the man back then, and then, you know, he kind of went from that to jobbing pretty quickly. I think because he kind of has a big mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's very outspoken. I think that's kind of what did him in some ways, from what I hear.
I remember we were on a family vacation in Virginia Beach. And we were in one of those gift stores. This was like 1989. And they had, you know, those posters, like when you go to like the Spencer Gifts or whatever, you just look at the posters. And then one of them was of the Z-Man Tom Zank. And I remember like looking at that. And my mom was like, who's the Z-Man Tom Zank? And my reply was, I don't know. That was my reply to my mom. So that's what I thought of the Z-Man Tom Zank.
Tom Zank's pretty good. Every time he pops up on something, I'm like, oh, okay. You know, at least you're guaranteed for something okay, you know. I don't hate it. Let's see. A lot of other stupid articles here that they did that they think are stupid. Compelled to make children cry. But why? A psychologist analyzes Doink the Clown.
Yeah.
And this is a thing that they, in retrospect, we devoted 4 pages to a psychologist's theories of a stinking clown. Well, you look, PWI, or, you know, and Apter Mags and Victory Sports, you guys have a number of wrestling psychologists on call. Analyze just about everything. You can't even. I remember reading that one Roddy Piper article about. I was like, Roddy Piper, is he crazy in Hollywood? What's going to happen? You know, I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
So
we talked about it a few podcasts ago.
Yeah, I don't have any sympathy for you.
I like this one of Lex Luger. They superimposed his head over Godzilla's body. This is Lexzilla, Luger's plan to conquer Japan. It's a pretty cool photo.
Yeah, sure, he's going to conquer Japan.
Yeah.
His goal is to attack and conquer and become America's uncrowned king of Japan. I can think of 100 people better than Lex Luger that would be better kings of Japan. But I guess 96 Lex Luger, you know, he was the total package back then.
Well, they have a headline about Bill Alfonso. Bill Alfonso, he's found the man who will keep Sabu and Van Damme in line.
He sort of did.
It's Lozansky who has galvanized Sabu and Van Damme and made them concentrate on working together rather than trying to tear each other apart.
Wait, they talk about Mike Lozansky?
Yeah.
Here? So all I know about Mike Lozansky is that he was in ECW and he...
I don't remember him at all.
He passed away because he died obviously before 2005 because they included him in the RIP package at the first ever One Night Stand. But I do not remember him at all in ECW. I mean, granted, I was not steadily watching the TV show or stuff like that in that time period. I think I was more focused on college and just other bullshit. But I don't remember, but I keep hearing his name sometimes pop up here and there, and I'm like, I don't remember this guy. I don't even know. I mean, it's like you can't really find much about him.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, how like certain guys, there's some guys in ECW that had like a cup of coffee with them, like, you know, like Sid was there for a second. Scott Hall was there for a second. Yeah. What's the one I was just thinking about? Well, Scott Anton or Scotty Riggs?
He actually had like a little run there.
He had like a program.
He did the clap.
That's right.
Yeah.
He did they made the clap, and then, and I think that was pretty much it for him, because I don't think he went back to WCW after that.
No, I think that was, he was done.
I do want to point out this one here. I think I had this issue as well. Why is this man smiling? Because I'm getting paid to mutilate. November 1996 talks about Yoshi Kwan.
Oh, yeah. Do you remember Yoshi Kwan?
Yoshi Kwan. But this is the thing. We're talking about Yoshi Kwan 3 years after his relevancy.
Yeah.
He was only around in WCW in 93. In retrospect, what was Yoshi Kwan against Larry Valentine and Gypsy Joe, RIP Gypsy Joe, in All-State Wrestling in Tennessee doing in PWI? That is we don't have any content, and how can you not have any content? You're making up wrestling stories. You just think, in 1996, you know, fucking make up a story about Chris Candido or fucking Bob Holly.
Yeah, didn't like the NWO happen in 96?
You could
talk about that, the whole issue, and nobody would complain.
Write some Virgil fanfic or Vincent fanfic. You there you go. You have three, you know, whatever, you know, you have three pages you can put right in the middle of the magazine. So, have a lot of cool pictures here. The 25 best dressed, since everybody wearing that awesome PWI shirt.
Yep, the one that we love so much. And you got a nice photo of Billy Jack Haynes giving the peace sign.
That's right. That's right. And then you have, for some reason, this guy here who I'd never heard of, J.J. Johnston. Is that Jim Johnston?
I don't know who that is. More of it, yes.
Well, there's 25. We only got through part of them.
True, yeah. Missy Hyatt looking good.
I like this picture of Kevin Sullivan. Looks like a mugshot.
Yeah.
You got Misty Blue Sims modifying her shirt to look great.
Diamond Dallas Page not wearing the shirt. However, the Diamond Doll is wearing the shirt.
Diamond Doll's wearing the shirt. And I'm assuming this is Kimberly.
Yeah.
She is in full bangs.
Yeah.
Which is interesting to see. I also want to say shout out to this Jerry Lawler photo with him holding a bunch of belts.
Yeah.
He's got the AWA belt. He's got the World Class belt. And I assume it's the Continental belt or Unified World Champion belt. So yeah, very cool.
I'm Jen.
And I'm Sean. We're here to tell you about our podcast, Worst Collection Ever.
And this is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence. And it just happens to belong to us.
We have some of the worst comics from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. They're bad. They're not worth anything.
No good.
Why do we own them? Bad. I own a number of issues of Terror Inc. and Guy Gardner.
Basically, we go around to local comic book stores and we buy everything we can out of dollar boxes.
We tell you about the weird stuff in them. We tell you about stuff that's related to them. We go into tangents and we're very uninformed. So,
oh my God, totally. But totally check out our podcast because you'll hear us just talk and joke about Marvel books and DC books from God only knows when.
That's right. It's our show, Worst Collection Ever, every Tuesday on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcasts. Download, rate, subscribe, tell a friend.
It'll be good and terrible, but good.
So this other list I have here, 25 matches that should be preserved on one DVD. And I'll just read through them and I'll let you debate whether or not they belong.
I don't know if they're in any particular order.
They're in order from
when they occurred.
They're chronological.
Yeah.
And so it's in from the time period from when the magazine existed.
Yeah, so number one is not like their most important match. It's just chronological order.
Yeah, so
they're all tied for number one.
Right. So Bruno versus Larry in the steel cage match.
Yeah.
Andre the Giant versus Killer Khan.
Is it the match where he breaks his leg or the match where he gets his revenge?
He gets his revenge, which, I mean, Andre getting revenge in the 80s is actually...
Well, you have to have him showing the whole story and then have the match.
Yeah, you got to have all the lead up to it.
Yeah.
Backlund versus Snuka in the steel cage where Jimmy...
Is that match on the network? Can I watch that match?
Because I
want to watch that match.
Maybe it's on the Snuka collection.
Maybe.
It might be.
Yeah.
I think the Morocco one is definitely on there. That is the one where he missed.
Yeah.
Because the one that Mick Foley attended is the one where he jumped on. He lost the match to Don Morocco, but he still jumped on him after the match.
Of course. Of course you're going to jump on him.
Yeah. Piper versus Valentine for the U.S. title Starrcade.
That match has been shown over and over again.
It's a good match, though.
Yeah, it's a great match. If you haven't seen it, watch it, but yeah, it's everywhere. So Steamboat versus Savage, same thing.
So yeah, Flair versus Sting,
same thing.
From the First Class Champions,
same thing. Yep.
Steamboat versus Flair from you could pick any of those bouts. I think this is the one from Wrestle War. No, maybe Music City Showdown from May. I should know this, but Royal Rumble from 92. That's probably one of the best Royal Rumbles.
Best drinking game ever.
Oh, what, the dead wrestler game?
Yes, take a shot whenever a dead wrestler enters the ring and you're wasted by the end of the match.
Liger versus Pillman from Wrestle Brawl 2. That's an okay match. I don't know. I didn't enjoy
it. I'm not too familiar with it, so I don't know.
It's worth a look. Actually, Super Brawl 2.
Yeah.
Is it was in between Bill Watts and after Jim Herd. So it's in between. So Kip Fry was in there. And I guess he was doing bonuses. So you have a lot of for best match. So you have a lot of people that are really busting their ass.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
Shawn versus Razor, WrestleMania 10.
Yeah.
This is one I love. Eddie Guerrero versus Dean Malenko. So I'm assuming they're talking about their ECW matches that they had.
Well, it says it's the last ECW match they did before they went
to. So it's the last one of the Malenko Guerrero classics.
Which I've heard is very good, and I don't think I've ever seen it.
You can watch any of the Malenko Guerrero classics, and they're great matches. I remember owning the VHS of them as a kid, and they were excellent.
Bret Hart versus Steve Austin in the submission match at WrestleMania 13. I will say I never, because I didn't order WrestleMania 13 on pay-per-view, I never saw it.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't, I know it's at some point I have plenty of opportunities to watch it, but I know how important this match is. So.
Yeah. It's a good match. Yeah. It's a good match. It was, it was the big double turn and Ken Shamrock was the referee and mm-hmm. It's a good match. It's the best match on the show, really.
Oh, yeah. by a long mile.
Yeah. Yeah.
Terry Funk versus Sabu and Barb Wired match.
I don't think I've seen that one.
I've seen the clips of it.
The clips.
Once basically Sabu rips open his arm and they have to stop the match, they have to kind of just go to a pin.
I think, I'm going to say that's the first match that I don't want on the DVD.
I think you can do without it.
Yeah, I could do without it.
Definitely do without it. Rey Mysterio versus Eddie Guerrero, the mask versus title from Halloween Havoc, 97. This is a good match, but also what was great is that in WCW Revenge, they included Rey's full body outfit that was attached, because the whole thing was mask versus title, but his mask was attached to the outfit. So you couldn't just have his mask get ripped off, because it was attached to the whole thing. So they had that purple outfit that was an alternate costume of his in WCW Revenge. So I do remember that. Shawn Michaels versus Bret Hart, the screw job. I've seen it a million times. It's very important. So Taker versus Mankind at Hell in the Cell. Everybody says oh man, I remember that match. It was a wild match. It was basically two stunts.
Yeah, it was two stunts and a lot of doctors checking on Mick Foley.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
it's a crazy spectacle for sure, but it's not a good match by any means.
I remember watching that match, and I was watching it at my friend Justin's house, and all of our cars were parked there. And then my ex-girlfriend at the time from high school thought it was going to be funny to come toilet paper all our cars while we were watching the match. So she was dating a dude who had a Camaro at the time, and I egged his Camaro after that match. And he was not happy about it because his sunroof was open and I got it inside. And that's my story for the Mick Foley Undertaker Hell in the Cell.
Steve Austin versus Vince McMahon, steel cage match from Valentine's Day Massacre. That's when Big Show showed up. Whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Bret Hart versus Benoit. That was the Owen tribute match on Nitro. Owen,
I mean, for Nitro, it's a good match, but they didn't get a lot of time, if I remember correctly.
So. I don't know. I've never been compelled to seek that match out. Yeah. There's a handful of Bret Hart matches that I've always been like, I really love that match.
Yeah.
Like, I think my favorite Bret Hart match, just because of the timing of my fandom and everything, is him versus Mr. Perfect in SummerSlam 91.
That was a great match. I think the Bret Hart-Benoit tournament final for the WCW title at whatever pay-per-view.
Mayhem.
Yeah, Mayhem in Toronto was a better match.
I'll have to go back and watch that pay-per-view. Eventually, when I do get around to watching all the WCW all the pay-per-views, because right now I'm kind of following along with this guy that is doing like weekly Nitro reviews. Right now he's only up to Road Wild 97, and I'm actually maybe partway through that, so I'm going to have to go back and keep following that. But Benoit versus Regal from the Brian Pillman Memorial Show, which basically got Regal his job back, and he's been there pretty much till this day.
I'll have to seek that match out. That sounds interesting.
I think it's out. I think it's on the network in some way. Yeah. I feel like it is. I feel like it's in like one of those hidden gems.
Yeah.
The TLC match, I think it was TLC Part 3 from WrestleMania 17. Yeah.
It was pretty good. Yeah, Hogan versus The Rock. Yes, that should be on there.
You have a random TNA match.
Yeah.
Because basically it's just a way to say that the X Division was here to stay. AJ versus Jerry Lynn versus Psychosis versus Low-Key.
I got to imagine that's a good match. I don't know anything about it, though. But yeah, I feel those four guys, they got
to
be a great
match. It's hard to look at that match now and say, like, oh, in 2000, you know, just back in 2004, yes. But, you know, I mean, shit. I mean, the triple threats between him, AJ, Samoa Joe, and Daniels far surpassed that.
Yeah.
So, Benoit versus Angle, 2003. Yeah. Angle versus Lesnar, Iron Man match. And Shawn Michaels versus Benoit versus Triple H in WrestleMania 20. It's a great match.
Yeah.
But for posterity, for history and everything that happened afterward, sad. Yeah. So, let's go here. Hot women from the 25 years?
I don't see Lady Maxine anywhere. So,
but wait, we're only on the first pages here.
Yeah, it's true.
You got.
I still don't see Lady Maxine.
No Lady Maxine. I see Tracy Brooks. She's not that.
Tracy Brooks, she. I would
go back and forth.
Yeah, like later on, no. But early Tracy Brooks, like even before TNA, I thought she was really pretty. Like, because she was an Ontario indie chick. So, yeah. Jasmine St. Clair.
This is only because around that time she was involved in wrestling and they're like, well, who can we put that's a hot chick in here?
Yeah.
Dark Journey making it in, though.
Dark Journey
made it.
Yeah, I guess Jasmine St. Clair was, she was involved in wrestling.
Well, she was doing, she was married to.
Yeah.
Well, also, here's a random one. Tony Adams. That was Chris Adams' wife.
Yeah,
that was,
Lady Blossom.
No, Lady Blossom was here.
Oh, Jeannie Clark. Jeannie Clark, that's Lady Blossom. Yeah. You know,
Tony Adams was.
Oh, that's right.
They still feuded in there. 25 moments we'd like to forget.
Yes, we should talk about all of them because. But
we'll just go through them real quick. We'll just run through it quick. Zbyszko buys the national title from Killer Brooks. Yeah, I always remember that. That's one thing he kind of really defined Larry Zbyszko, I feel like, to me. We just talked about this one in the last episode. Johnny Valiant rubs his cigar in Barry Windham's face.
I don't get why they want to forget that. That was a great time.
That's heel as fuck.
Yeah.
It actually made Johnny Valiant useful, because other than that, I don't think he really did anything.
No, he didn't really do much.
He just showed around and just wore a shiny jacket, and then...
His jacket was amazing, though.
His jacket was amazing. Ronnie Garvin dresses as Miss Alana Lively, whatever. Gino Hernandez throws hair remover in Chris Adams' eyes, and then Gino Hernandez dies from cocaine 8 days later. Yeah, I guess you'd want to forget that. That's sad. MTV, okay, so they show the Slammy Awards in 86, and Vince McMahon does Stand Back.
Why would you want to forget that?
I don't know.
That's great. I want to watch it right now.
Vince McMahon.
I want to stop recording this podcast and watch it. Like, that's how great that was.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh, here's one that happened on my birthday, 1987. Iron Sheik and Hacksaw Jim Duggan, sworn enemies in the ring, are pulled over while driving erratically in the car together and arrested by New Jersey State Police. Duggan is charged with marijuana possession and drinking alcohol while driving, while Sheiky is charged with possession of marijuana and cocaine. Neither does any prison time. And
that is not kayfabe, by the way.
No, it is
not.
So
why are they even bringing that up? It's not wrestling.
Because they were kind of going not as much kayfabe here at this time. But yeah, you definitely want to.
I wouldn't have brought it up. I would have come up with
that. Like, it happened.
Earthquake squishing Damien would have been on my list.
I think there's no. Actually, there is a related one on here.
Oh, okay.
I think there is. So we'll get to that. Number seven, Ronnie P. Gossett dresses in a diaper. Whatever.
Yeah.
Hogan lies about steroids. Yeah, that messed up a lot of things. Abdul the Butcher sustained second and third degree burns on his arm and chest.
Jeez, yeah. I wish I didn't see that.
Because Abhuta Singh, who actually went on to be Balls Mahoney,
yeah,
threw a fire at him and he caught on fire. 1994. Jeez. Abdul's still alive, right?
Yeah, he's still alive. He's got his butcher shop, or not his butcher shop, but his barbecue place in
Georgia. No, that's not around anymore. That shut down. What, the Chinese place and ribs?
Yeah.
Yeah, that shut down.
I never got to go.
And what happened was, when WrestleMania came to Atlanta, everybody went to go eat there and they ran out of ribs.
Yeah, that I remember hearing that story, because everyone. So that should be a dream of ours, to like have enough money where we're gonna go on tour of the United States and just only go to wrestlers' owned restaurants.
We'll definitely have to go to the Shoney's.
We have to go to Shoney's, and then that's the only one I can think of right now. So,
but the Apollo's is still around, right?
Yeah, the Elio DePaulo's is still around, even though he's not around. But Dennis does a great job with that restaurant.
Yeah.
But yeah. We'll have to go to Shoney's, and that's really the only one I can think of.
Yeah. I know there's got to be more, but I'm not thinking of
it right now. Oh, I think Jerry Lawler has a place in Memphis. I think he's got a Memphis barbecue.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I need some good barbecue.
We'll have to go to Jerry Lawler's restaurant.
All right.
Yeah, so that's two. Shoney's and Jerry Lawler's.
Bam. That's on the. That's actually. Oh, and JR. Does JR, I wonder if JR still has his restaurant? Because I did eat there once. I did eat there on the night of Armageddon 2008, yeah, which was in Buffalo.
Hulk Hogan's restaurant closed, but he still has his like beach shop, and his beach shop is right across the street from the world's largest McDonald's.
Oh, really?
So we can go to McDonald's.
That counts.
And we can get food and bring it to Hogan's beach shop and eat it in there.
That counts. That'll count.
That's what we'll do.
That will count.
That's in Orlando.
Okay.
That McDonald's actually has pizza, and they have a pizza oven.
Get out of here.
Yeah. But
wait, so they have pizza at McDonald's in the States? Because usually in Canada, that's like the big thing.
Yeah, so they have it at that location. And if you go to like Dam Drops on YouTube, you know, the guy who does all the food tasting, he actually reviews the McDonald's pizza. And he doesn't give it a good review. He says it kind of sucks. So.
Oh, yeah, well. Yeah.
I got to imagine it does suck. But I would just, like, if I'm at McDonald's, I'd get McDonald's food anyway.
Yeah, I'm just
going to bring it across the street. Hopefully Hogan will be there. And we'll eat it in his board shop. And he'll be like, what are you guys bringing that McDonald's in here for, brother? And we'll be like, dude, you closed your restaurant. This is the next best thing.
Give me a nugget, brother.
Yeah. I don't think Hogan eats McDonald's.
No, I don't think he's ever had a nugget.
No.
Chicken nugget. I don't think he's... I think he's only eaten at... The only fast food he's ever eaten at is Pasta Mania.
Yeah, totally. He probably... Hogan, bring back Pasta Mania.
Yeah, bring back Pasta Mania.
Ernie Green actually ate at Pasta Mania, so
one of
he's got street cred.
There's a podcast host, Kulab Velisak. I'm probably saying her name wrong, but she's on Earwolf, does a show called Who Charted. She grew up in Minnesota and worked at Pasta Mania.
Wow.
In its short existence.
And I have a lot of friends out here who, like, they went to Mean Gene Burgers.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I forgot Mean Gene Burgers.
They were out here, and I wish I would have been able to do that.
Oh man, you know what? Yeah, shit. We got to figure that. We got to figure this out. We got to make a list.
A list of, yes. If you're listening and you know of wrestlers who own restaurants, tweet it at us.
There's got to be something out here.
Yeah, because
somebody's got to own a taco shop or like a burger shop.
I mean, we've got Danny Trejo, but he's not a wrestler.
I was thinking about that, but I was like, has he ever wrestled? No, he hasn't.
I don't think so.
He did not do any.
Rob Van Dam for a little while owned a comic book shop.
I know. I'm disappointed that went away.
Yeah.
I mean,
I got to imagine those kind of stores are just like so hard to like stay in business.
Well, to have a good comic book shop is a hard deal.
Yeah.
I think because for as somebody who goes to many a comic book shop, I have very specific needs. And, you know, if some you can't please everybody.
I think even the greatest comic book shops, it's got to be hard to stay in business. Like.
Well, there's some out here that have been out here forever. I mean, I can shout out. I know they're not supporting the show, but Jeffrey's Comics, Heidi Ho's, The Comic Bug. I mean, those are all, as far as I'm concerned, Pulp Fiction. Those are all like, those are my four favorite comic book shops.
Yeah, there's one in Northridge that's been there forever.
I think it's the one in Winnetka. It's technically Winnetka something, Collector's Paradise.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, cool. That one's a good one too.
Yeah,
that one's a good one too. Okay, so let's get through this list here. Barroom argument between Sid Vicious and Arn Anderson in England.
All these non-kayfabe stuff.
No, but you want to forget about it. They reported about this back when it happened.
I don't want to forget about it. I think it's hilarious that Sid Vicious stabbed Arn Anderson with a pair of scissors.
And well, eventually Arn did forgive him.
Yeah, they like in even in shoot interviews, Sid says if like he's so upset that it was Arn that he did that to. He's like, there's so many people who deserve to be stabbed with a pair of scissors, and Arn Anderson is not one of them, and he regrets it. So
yeah, if you're gonna get one stabbing, you gotta make it count.
It just sounds like it was just alcohol and just like
alcohol just and tempers. The cheese.
Yeah, that's all it was. It was just one of those things. And yeah, they look like they're fine with each other now. So
yeah, because Anderson went on to wrestle after that.
Yeah, yeah.
I've never been stabbed, though, so I don't know.
I don't know where he was stabbed.
I think he was stabbed in, like, I feel like he was stabbed in the abdomen.
Yeah.
I don't think he was, I don't think it was, like, life-threatening, but he was stabbed.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, it's, which sucks, you know. Okay, let's see.
So yeah, Eddie Gilbert's wrestling his last match.
Eddie Gilbert wrestles the bear, dies.
God, I love Eddie Gilbert now. He
doesn't die wrestling a bear, he does this day.
I love Eddie Gilbert now, watching his stuff.
R.I.P. Eddie Gilbert.
He's great.
He is great. Hogan and Andre, Hogan and the Giant wrestle with their cars.
That was kind of cheesy.
I can forget that. Scott Hall, so the fake Razor and fake Razor Ramon, fake Diesel.
You know what? I liked it. I thought it was funny. So I thought it was great. Like, JR was just like a heel and he was bitter. And he's like, if they want to be called Razor and Diesel, so what? Let them. Who cares?
Yeah, actually, you know what? Technically, it's supposed to work. And I wish they did that more often, where they're like, we own this gimmick. Fine. Yeah. You are Duke the Dumpster Drosy now.
The fact that it's like 20 years later and we're still talking about it and people still know about it. Like,
yeah.
I thought it was great. Yeah. So fuck you. I liked it.
Vince McMahon double crosses Bret Hart. Eh. You know. This is how it happened.
Yeah,
it sucked for Bret Hart, but also Bret Hart had every opportunity to drop that goddamn title before the Montreal match, and he didn't.
Yeah, I think it was Cornette's idea. It's like, just why didn't you just have Ken Shamrock go in there and wrestle him and just fucking kill him?
Yeah,
like, that would have been great.
Yeah,
yeah.
NWO 2000. Wait, was that it? No, the finger poke of doom. Yeah, that was dumb. Owen Hart died. Dies. Yeah, that sucked.
Yeah.
Draws gets paralyzed by D'Lo. Yeah, that sucked.
That sucked too.
David Arquette wins the title. That
going back to the Draws one, he doesn't blame D'Lo at all. He blames like himself because he wore a tank top.
Really? That's weird because he never used to wear a tank top.
Yeah, exactly. He wore a tank top in that match and it kind of threw off his everything. He thinks like that's kind of how he.
D'Lo never recovered after that, though. That sucked for him.
Yeah, D'Lo has to live with that burden forever. And I mean, D'Lo went on and wrestled and had a pretty good career after that. But yeah, like, I think D'Lo was a lot more talented than they gave him credit for. I think D'Lo could have had a big run.
D'Lo probably needed to get in better shape if he was
going further than that. Yeah, that's true, too.
Because he was always pudgy and stuff like that. But he was, you know, he was good. I mean, he's charismatic as fuck and he could move.
Yeah.
He was good.
Yeah, D'Lo.
Shout out to D'Lo Brown.
Yeah.
David Arquette wins the WCW title. You know what? I don't care. It's WCW bullshit from then.
David Arquette winning the title, I didn't have a problem with. But him defending the title and acting as the champ, that's what kind of like pissed me off.
Well, the thing about David Arquette, the thing that I always hear, because he talks about this, that how he did, first of all, fight it.
Yeah.
Because he knew it was dumb.
Yeah.
But they did it anyways. Also, I heard from like a lot of the funds that he made, money that he made from wrestling, he gave to like the families of Pillman and Owen Hart.
Yeah.
You know, Brian Pillman and Owen Hart. He knew, he's a fan. He respected it, you know, and I feel like, I mean, I don't know the guy, but you know, I feel like I've seen that.
I loved his promos that he would just get on the mic. He'd be like, shut up. I liked it.
Just healing it up.
Yeah. Like David Arquette had a place, but I don't, world champ kind of was lame.
See, Vince Russo rips on Hulk Hogan, Bash of the Beach.
Yeah, that was dumb.
That was dumb.
That was really dumb. Like, if Hogan didn't want to, like, lose to Jeff Jarrett, then don't have him wrestle Jeff Jarrett. That's the you know what? Have him wrestle somebody else.
Yeah, do you have to do that? No.
Yeah.
But just to make a point.
Because Jeff Jarrett was the champ already, so if Hogan didn't want to lose to him, Jeff Jarrett's still your champ. Have Hogan face somebody else that he wants to wrestle. Like, all right, Hulk, what do you want to do? Like, just fuck Vince Russo.
Sid Vicious breaks his leg. Yeah, that sucked.
That sucked.
Suck for Sid. It'll suck for everybody watching it too.
Yeah.
Jesus. So it's, God, imagine being in that match and being like Steiner or fucking animal and I be like, what do you do?
Yeah, I remember not watching that pay-per-view because it was WCW at that time and nobody's watching it. But I remember them just replaying the shit out of it on Nitro the next day. And I was like,
I think that's the thing you want to forget more too, is that, you know, it happened, yes, because accidents happen, but don't fucking show it all the time.
Yeah.
Vince buys WCW. Vince makes Regal kiss his ass. Triple H pretends to fuck Katie Vick. I thought that was stupid and funny.
Yeah, I don't think it was that.
Like, I don't want to forget it. I think it's hilarious because when people are like, wrestling is stupid, I'm like, yeah, it is. This happened. I do like when Triple H shows up in that sketch and he's like, oh, sure. It's just Triple H in the cane mask.
Yeah.
But he's just this big red machine. And then he's just fucking he's just fondling this dummy. And then I think Lance Dermus told the story how Vince loved the button, the final joke in there about screwing her brains out, like, to the point he would just walk around just going, I screwed her brains out, because he loved it so much. It was his favorite. And then, yeah, Lesnar almost breaks his neck at WrestleMania 19. And then this is one from 2004. John Layfield pretends he's a Nazi in Germany. So yeah, those things suck too.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some photos here.
Yeah.
Real quick. Let's talk about some photos here. You got a picture of the dynamic dude standing with a bunch of Hooters girls, and the dry ice machine has exploded apparently. And then
what is all that smoke?
They're
just, maybe it's just an overexposed negative. I don't know. But what the hell's going on?
Shane Douglas just looks like such a dweeb.
Yeah.
I mean, Johnny Ace is, you know, doesn't look, he feels like it fits, but Shane Douglas, just the way he just looks like a dummy.
I like that one of the Midnight Express and Jim Cornette just covered in blood.
Yeah.
That's a great one.
I like that they're trying to help him, you know, and he's just gory. Yeah, it's a very, he has some very interesting photos here. Nick Bockwinkle fixing a car.
Yeah.
I like this.
Who's giving Mean Gene bunny ears in that photo?
I don't know.
Somebody's giving them bunny ears.
They have, what you call it?
Paulie dangerously dressed as Uncle Sam.
Yeah, that one's weird.
That's very weird.
I like this pose photo of a bloody Captain Lou, and you got the ref behind him. For some reason, like, he's holding him by the ears, and he's got the eyes bugging out. It's a silly photo.
You have the El Gigante holding the Steiner brothers by his biceps.
Well, they're not really holding.
No.
I kind of wish he was, though. And then, yeah, they have some random Mick Foley photos. And then they have this photo. It's kind of too small for me, but it's Ivan, Nikita, and Cruiser Khrushchev on the Capitol steps going, like, raising their arms.
Yeah.
Which, fuck yeah, that's an awesome photo. Okay, here's the one you wanted to point out. The 25 differences then and now.
Yeah, then and now.
All right, let's do this. Angles mean everything. Angle means everything.
Oh.
Yeah. Triumphant Bruno. Bitter Bruno.
Yes.
That's
still the same today.
Yeah.
Not as bitter, though.
Yeah, he's doing better, I guess.
Yeah.
Blondes have more fun. Bald is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Steve Austin made that thing. Taking legal steroids, strict diet, and workout regimen. Yeah, I guess you can, you know, maybe a couple years after this, you know, that wasn't always the case, but.
Yeah.
Superstar Graham's big muscles, Superstar Graham's new liver. So I shouldn't laugh at that. But
he got a liver transplant.
He did. He apparently, I remember reading this in a book, or just, I think it was in the, because it was finally, they finally, they, I finally got to see it because they put it on the network, is the Superstar Graham documentary they did back in like 2004. And apparently he was deemed the worst liver in Arizona, which is why he got the freshest liver. And he's still alive.
Yeah.
That guy. Thunder Lips. And then Thunder in Paradise. Uncle Elmer weds Joyce Stasko, and Triple H weds Stephanie. Fans love to hate Flair. Fans love to love Flair. Valiants rule the ring. Johnny Valiant rules the stage. No. I remember one time we interviewed Johnny Valiant on Monday in Mayhem, and he was in the middle of doing his comedy. But it's like, he's as much of a comedian as, like, you know, Mick Foley is.
Yeah.
You know, it's just one of those things where it's, because since PWI is based in New York, it's like, hey, Johnny Valiant, what are you up to? I'm doing comedy. Okay, great. We'll put you in here.
Yeah.
Von Erichs, and then the Hearts.
Yeah.
Trunks and boots, jeans and wrestling shoes. Olympian Ken Patera, Olympian Kurt Angle. Yeah, they love Kurt Angle here. He's a new Scott Hall. Typewriters versus G5 Macintoshes.
G5. Yeah. Oh my god.
Yeah, we're not even in MacBook territory yet.
Holy cow, the G5. I remember those.
Yeah.
I remember just like thinking how cool they were and how it was illegal to export them to Canada because they were capable of making nuclear weapons.
No.
Yeah.
Marathon TV tapings at Hamburg Fieldhouse. Marathon tours of several countries in a week. Snuka, or Iron Sheik and Jimmy Snuka, Rene Dupree and Rob Van Dam. Jeff Jarrett puts a referee shirt over his head. Jeff Jarrett smashes a guitar over a ref's head. Because Jeff Jarrett did start out as a ref.
Yeah.
China and wrestling. Wrestling in China. I see what you did there.
Mm-hmm.
Sunshine, Stratus. So yeah, Sunshine was top valet world class, and then Stratus. Okay.
Yeah.
Sika, and then Rosie. R.I.P. Rosie. Actually, of today, it would be Roman Reigns.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Who was Rosie's younger brother?
Yeah. Fans love a 5-minute headlock. Fans boo a 5-minute match. Fuji Salt versus Moon Salts. Ha ha. Rock and Wrestling Connection versus Rock and Sock Connection. Iron Claw versus Mandible Claw. Fifi the French Maid versus Fifi the French Poodle. That was Rene Dupree's poodle gimmick. And then Typhoon versus Hurricane. So there you go. I don't know. I didn't like that list.
Yeah, it was kind of long.
The list sucked.
Yeah.
You want to talk about these makeovers here?
We got makeovers.
Yeah.
And it's just like showing early and then later photos of wrestlers. And you've got like, you've got Fat Blue Meanie and then Thin Blue Meanie over there, who's now probably Fat Blue Meanie again.
Yeah, he's probably fat. He's got giant pants.
Yeah.
He's got hammer pants.
I think he's probably wearing his old pants.
Yeah, I guess.
He's probably like, you know what? I'm not buying new pants. Fuck you. You made me lose all this weight. I'm wearing my old pants. I don't blame him. Kevin Nash dressed as Oz, and then the old man Kevin Nash, and then, yeah.
I like the Shane Douglas one, which it's just him older.
Yeah.
Because it's just him, you know, Shane Douglas as a young wrestler and then Shane Douglas as an old wrestler wearing trunks.
Yeah. And then you've got like the Scott Steiner one is, you know, Scott Steiner young, Scott Steiner old.
I do like this this Goldust one because it's Dustin Rhodes wearing a old country shirt, badass cowboy shirt. And then he's Goldust in the next photo.
Yeah.
What else here? The Godfather. I like how he went from a guy who wore a shirt with skulls on it to
a pimp.
To a pimp.
Yeah. They have Kane. That's a pretty good old young photo of Kane.
You know what's weird is there's a video of Kane did a few jobs in WCW.
Oh, okay.
He actually wrestled Sting at one point. He was known as Bruiser Mastino.
Oh, okay.
Or Bruiser something. And he was just good old Kane, old Unabom.
The great Muda photo is pretty cool.
Oh yeah, Muda stepped up. Really had dramatic change.
Yeah,
he revolutionized a lot. I mean, obviously he was revolutionary back in 1990, 91 or whatever. But you know, he went on, you know, with his mask, you know, the image change, and you know, the Shining Wizard and everything just changed. You know, the wrestling.
I like how Lance Storm is just like the same.
Yeah.
Why, what was the point of doing Lance Storm? Maybe it's a rib on him? I don't know.
It's definitely a rib.
Yeah.
I do like the Mike Rotundo where it's just like Mike Rotundo wearing giant shorts.
Yeah.
And then Mike Rotundo in a suit. I also like this Chris Daniels one because it shows him when he's very young.
Yeah.
And then I feel like this next one, okay, no, I can't tell if he has hair or not. The way the light is, it looks like he doesn't. But
I think he doesn't.
Yeah. And then, of course, the last one is The Undertaker. You got Mean Mark, and then I got The Undertaker. So
circa 2004.
That's right.
Yeah.
See here, 25 people who will be felt for 25 years and beyond.
It's got the usual suspects. I don't see how Captain Lou's influence is going to be felt 25 years and beyond.
Well, it's a rock and wrestling thing. He was kind of the catalyst behind it because had he never sat next to Cyndi Lauper on a plane and became friends with her and her wanting to put him in her video and all that stuff, a lot of what WWF became in the 80s would not maybe have come as quickly or come at all. Okay, here's a good one. 25 people who enjoyed 15 minutes of wrestling fame or less.
Yeah.
All right.
Barbara Bush, number 5, which is kind of funny. I wanted to just, like, I don't know why. Well, I could think of a couple of reasons why she just jumped out at me off the page.
But yeah.
Yeah. So number one.
Well, number one, Herb Abrams, who was the original, he was the guy behind the 1991 UWF.
Yeah.
He was a crazy promoter who did lots of drugs and died at 41. because he was high on coke and running around a hotel naked. True story.
R.I.P. Herbie Abrams.
R.I.P. Herbie Abrams. Paul Elberstein. He is the man behind the AWF.
Oh.
So, I wish he was still around.
Yeah.
I wish AWF was still around. I'd watch it. David Arquette. We talked about him. Blitzkrieg. You remember Blitzkrieg?
No.
He was actually a really awesome luchador that had a few matches in WCW like in 99. And like he just disappeared after that.
Oh.
But he was really good. Barbara Bush.
Not the former first lady or former president's daughter, Barbara Bush. Barbara Bush was a busty EMT character on Raw. And then
I think she dated Bob Holly.
Well, yeah, Bob Holly like cheated on his wife with her. And that's why she got fired, I guess, because like they frowned upon cheating.
That got Paul, that got Max Moon fired.
Yeah.
Because he cheated on with Tatanka's wife or wherever. Yeah, I think that's what was the reason. So yeah,
was it Conan Max Moon?
The original at the very beginning.
Yeah,
but then at the last minute, something fell apart.
Yeah,
and he didn't become Max Moon. So, and I guess the story was that Paul Diamond was walking by and says, "I could fit into that suit," and they went, "Sure," and then he wore the suit.
Yeah,
and that's what he was. So,
and then he banged Tatanka's wife,
and that was it. And then he went on to, and then he had a cup of coffee at the ECW, if you remember that.
Yeah,
another one of those.
Yeah.
Him and Tommy Rogers, which is the first time where I think people got to see the what's now known as the Unprettier or the Christian's, you know, finisher.
Yeah.
Because Christian basically lifted that from
Tommy Rogers.
Tommy Rogers.
Yeah.
I remember seeing that a bunch too, and there was a few matches that I think he wrestled in at one of the ECWs in Buffalo, and he was doing that there.
Yeah.
So that was a good time. Cloudy. You remember Cloudy?
I do.
Steve Constant. Now, I don't know if you remember this. I don't know if we talked about this in from a magazine we reviewed, but I definitely remember reading the magazine where he talks about how he was at a Pro Wrestling USA show and he was taunting Superstar Graham, and he had Superstar Graham put him in the full Nelson, and Superstar Graham supposedly fucked him up or whatever.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. A nice shoot angle. Yeah. Superstar.
Yeah, and he wrote a column about it or something. Tyler Fullington.
The Sandman's kid.
Sandman's kid, who is now, he became pretty big, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, like big, like physically big. I don't know if he's a wrestler or anything like that, but I remember hearing about him. Kevin Green. Kevin Green was awesome. I thought Kevin Green was great when he was in WCW, and he was just really into being a wrestler.
Yeah, I thought like he was going to end up being like Mongo McMichael, like when he was retired, just go on to wrestling for a little while, but that never happened.
That's kind of a shame because he had the enthusiasm to do it.
Yeah.
I was a fan of Kevin Green as a football player, too.
Yeah, he had the long hair.
Yeah.
He was like one of those guys, like back in the day, there wasn't too many. Now there's like dime a dozen people with long hair. But back in the day, like you knew it was Kevin Green because he was like one of the few guys who had long hair coming out of his helmet.
Yeah, you didn't really. Yeah, you don't have like your Clay Matthews. You didn't have your Clay Matthews like you do now.
Yeah.
Tanya Harding. Yeah, she did a thing.
Did she?
I guess so. She had a thing in the show. I think it was in Portland or something. Big Bad John.
Okay.
Who, a.k.a. Silo Sam.
Oh. Still don't know who he is.
You don't remember, we talked about Silo Sam.
Did we?
Yeah, he was the big guy in AWA who was the hillbilly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He was the AWA hillbilly. Andy Kaufman, Master P. Jack Patrick, who, when Ted Turner bought Jim Crockett Promotions in 88, Patrick was the exec in charge of the company, and then he ended up giving that up in favor of Jim Herd.
Oh.
Ralphus. Remember Ralphus?
I do remember Ralphus.
Cheryl Roberts.
I remember Cheryl Roberts.
Everybody, oh yeah, we were, yeah, that's that was, we're talking, we want to talk kayfabe. Cheryl Roberts. David Sammartino.
Which, if David Sammartino looked like that in his WWF run, he might have made it something of himself.
The problem with David Sammartino is that he didn't have any personality and he wasn't a good wrestler.
Yeah.
Even if he was shredded or not, he sucked.
Yeah, but in the WWF, he was just like a fat Italian guy.
He was, yeah. And he also, and he, there was a few matches, if you ever watch like some like early matches with him, like the few matches that he did, like he nearly like killed the dudes. Like he doesn't know, like it was like, he was really bad. And it's kind of an embarrassment, you know, considering who his father was.
They should have just had him wrestle like his father and put guys in headlocks for 20 minutes.
Or he shouldn't have been on WWF so soon and should have maybe just, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. He did have a cup of coffee at WCW. Remember that?
No.
He wrestled Dean Malenko a few times on Nitro, and he had. Really? He was one of those guys that would always, you know, like 96, 97, would just be in WCW. Wow. And that was it. Yeah. Otis Sistrunk, a former Oakland Raider, who was a tag team champion with Michael Hayes.
Oh.
And for 1981 and lost the title to Terry Gordy and Jimmy Snuka and quit.
You never hear about that in the shoot interviews with Michael Hayes.
You know, actually, you know what? You're right. Yeah. I've never heard anything. Lisa Sliwa, who was the wife of Curtis Sliwa, of the leader of the Guardian Angels. And she's basically dressing. So remember Guardian Angel,
yeah.
Who Big Boss Man was dressed as a Guardian Angel. So anyway, so basically imagine like a lady version of the Big Boss Man. Well, no, she's not a lady. She's a pretty, you know, she's a, you know, fit, pretty lady, but she's wearing like the garb that they would wear.
Yeah.
And basically they had her come in and do a photo shoot. I don't know where they ran these photos or how they ran, in what context they ran the photos, but. She never wrestled, and then she divorced Curtis Sliwa, and now is a reporter on Fox News. Bonnie Steamboat?
Yeah, I remember like she would show up from time to time, and then they got a divorce.
They
and
did
she ended
divorce.
Up owning the Ricky the Dragon Steamboat name, and he had to like get it back from her in order to like be called Ricky the Dragon Steamboat on TV mm-hmm. again.
They would have to refer to him as Dick Blood.
Yeah.
Which is his real name. John Coach Tolos. Hey, Tolos did not have 15 minutes of fame.
Yeah, fuck this. Yeah.
Oh, shit. I know. And they didn't even got their times right because it says in 1990 he was coaching Kurt Hennin and Bob Orton. Well, 1990, it was 91 because he was at SummerSlam 91.
Yeah.
And I think before that or before after that, he did manage Bob Orton and UWF.
Yeah.
But... Yeah, this is 15. Yeah, don't say that. Al Wilson.
Yeah, I remember Al Wilson.
Jim Wilson.
I don't remember Jim Wilson.
Jim Wilson he wrote a book called Chokehold, basically saying he was an NFL guy that used to be a wrestler in the Jim Crockett, and he would say that basically, you know, wrestling is corrupt.
Oh,
and everybody okay. was like, well, no shit.
Mm-hmm.
David Wolf, who was Cindy Lauper's husband.
Mm-hmm. Is she still married to him?
I don't know. I don't think so. Maybe not. I don't know. That's a good question. And Zeus.
Yes.
We all know Zeus. Did you know there's a match out there? It's Zeus versus Abdul the Butcher in Puerto Rico.
I have to see this match.
Yeah. Okay, look. So here, first of all, we got your favorite wrestler coming up.
Oh, yeah. All right.
So there's a lot of odd photos here.
Yeah.
So you have a Lanny Poffo dressed
25. Yes. Lanny Poffo dressed up as like Sir Lancelot.
Right, and then you have on the other page here, you have Lady Maxine.
There she is, Maxine, finally.
Hey, shout out to Lady Maxine.
She's just above Chicken Neck, a guy dressed like a chicken.
She is, and also right next to Chicken Neck.
Oh, we got Paul Ellering.
I told you.
Yes.
Paul Ellering.
Yes.
And they have a very, I think it's kind of a shitty caption here. It says, because it's Paul Ellering, and he's dressed in pink trunks, big pink like tie-dye trunks.
Yeah.
He's got a big pink hat on, and he's got like a, I don't know what that is. It's like a purse or something,
but it's like
a thin purse.
Yeah.
And it says, who knew Wall Street was in the gayborhood? I don't know. I think that you could do better than that, PWI.
Arachnaman.
Arachnaman. Also, this is another, I don't know, just whatever.
It's Sal Bellamo with a bunch of stuffed animals. I don't understand that.
Yeah. Greg Gagne.
Oh, yeah, Greg Gagne.
Greg Gagne is the warrior Greg Gagne.
Yeah.
Or is, whatever. I do like this photo here of Jimmy Valiant, and he's wearing a tuxedo shirt. And
like one of those tuxedo t-shirts with a tuxedo printed on it.
Tuxedo
yeah.
t-shirts, and he's got blood on him. And it says underneath him, it says the quintessential flake. I mean, I don't know exactly why they chose that caption, but I feel it fits. So
they have Jim Cornette dressed as a Confederate soldier.
This was at Halloween Havoc 1990, I believe, or 89, or one of those.
Okay, so this is interesting. I shouldn't say interesting. So they have a guy, and he's got like butterfly wings, and he's got like a little skirt on, and he's posing pretty awkwardly, and his name is the Fun Athletic Guy. I'll let you spell out the initials and figure out his name.
Also, you know who that is, right?
I'm looking at it upside down, but oh man, is that Steve Richards?
No.
Oh no.
No, that I believe that is Rob Feinstein.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then you have Baron von Raschke in drag. You have Lasertron. Shout out to Lasertron, man. I got nothing against Lasertron. Lasertron is awesome.
Why is Baron von Roschke in drag?
I don't know. It's a good question. I think at some point in AWA, he had to dress up.
And he's got like the arrogance spray. You know, yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah.
And last but not least, you have Curly Moe. This was the, remember when we talked about this in IWCCW? Yeah. He was.
Did he eat Shemp and Larry?
He maybe he did. And his finisher was the Ghetto Blaster. If you think about how that would have looked.
Yeah.
So we're going to jump ahead here to the question, not the questions, but it's our favorite PWI covers.
Yeah.
Right? And so.
Let's see if we talked about any of them. I doubt it because we only covered like two or three issues.
Yeah, we haven't gotten to them yet.
Yeah.
August 1980, Bruno goes berserk. I tried to kill Larry Zbyszko, and basically it's Bruno throttling Larry Zbyszko. That looks awesome. Hey, look, real quick. Gersh Kuntzman.
There he is. It's Gersh Kuntzman.
I did not think he was real, but apparently he was Howard Stern back in the 1980s.
Oh, look at that. Yeah, and he's got his hand on his head.
Very young Howard Stern.
And he's in the middle of Eddie Gilbert and Missy Hyatt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for a second, I had to be like, why is Howard Stern from the early 1980s?
Yeah, Gersh Kuntzman, assistant editor, 88 to 89.
Yeah, he had some thoughts.
And he talks about some things.
There's
a lot of words involved that I don't want to read. So, December 82, you got Hulk Hogan, one of 81 covers, I guess.
Yeah.
He's on a bunch of covers. And then the Road Warriors, that's a cool photo.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite Road Warrior photos from 83.
I mean, it's not as good as them like checking their makeup in the mirror and then posing, but it's still pretty cool.
Let's see, January 86 with Hulk Hogan holding a belt, and you can see his pictures as a kid.
Yeah.
Whatever. The Achievement 86, or Achievement 85, and you got all the wrestlers wearing Flair and Hogan.
Wearing the PWI t-shirt.
Oh, wait. We'll get to that in a second here.
Yeah.
February 87, the UWF tag tournament. They're all fighting over a cup. June 87, Magnum PI's exclusive interview. Thank you for your prayers.
Magnum TA. Yeah.
Wearing a Celtics jacket.
Yeah. Going back to that first one, though, the who's the best in the tournament in the UWF, and they're holding the cup. And it's a really cool photo because you've got the Freebirds. You've got One Man Gang and Terry Taylor, Ted DiBiase, and Billy Jack Haynes. No, that's Steve Williams, rather. And they're all like fighting over a cup, and they're holding the cup, and it's awesome looking.
Yeah, that's a good photo.
I do want that magazine. I've seen it on eBay a couple times, but the price hasn't been right, so I haven't bought it yet. But I have.
Well, let's see what else is in here. Hogan versus Orndorff, the World Wrestling's Hottest Feud, World Championship Wrestling Confidential, Baby Doll Tells All. For the good of wrestling, Scott Hall must shut Colonel DeBeers' mouth.
Yes, the ongoing feud of Scott Hall and Colonel DeBeers is covered in that magazine where Scott Hall puts $5,000 up, or maybe it's $10,000 of his own money on the line against Colonel DeBeers. And Scott Hall goes to the bank and withdraws $10,000 of his own money.
And he wins his own money.
And he wins it, and then he puts it right back in the bank.
So August 1988.
There it is, the cover that we've... issue we've covered in
Macho
here.
Madness.
Yeah, the Macho Madness with the Mega Powers on the cover. That issue is, I thought it was a great cover. So
it is a great cover. Their favorite part of it is you can keep your dark attitude colors. We'll take the wrestlers of the 80s every time.
I agree.
Yeah, that is an 80s awesome cover.
Yep.
Love it. August 1989, it's a shot of Hulk Hogan. It's a bunch of Super Sunday, so it's talking about all these different... talk about WrestleMania 5, and I think like maybe a Clash of the Champions or something.
But then they have a picture of Hulk Hogan in the 85 belt, so yeah, it must be from 85.
Hey, anytime Hogan's not wearing the regular outfit is always
a treat. He's got blue trunks on, yeah. Wrestler of the Decade, and you got Ric Flair, and he's holding a trophy.
Mm-hmm.
And Lex Luger's holding a trophy for something. And
I think he smashed it.
Oh.
He's hitting with a chair, and he broke it.
Oh, good for Lex.
Yeah. July 1990, Lex Luger, black background. He's wearing, he's just wearing his yellow trunks and doing a pose.
Yeah.
Looks great. Ultimate Victory from August 1990. Just a great shot of a warrior standing on the ropes, holding the titles. April 91, Sergeant Slaughter, guilty of treason.
Yeah.
And this is actually what they're pointing out here, how... In the days before Adobe Photoshop was used so effectively, they blended part of the Iraqi flag and the American flag.
Yeah.
So they liked that. America's Hero, the one that's on the cover.
Yeah, Hulk Hogan all ripped in like
Jack's artist rendition.
Artist rendition.
July 1991. Hulk Hogan standing on the cover of The War is Over. Hulk Hogan liberates the WWF belt from Sergeant Slaughter, and he is bloody, and he's holding the American flag, and he's just standing, looking up at, you know, in the arena, and he's standing on the steps, and I had this magazine.
Oh, cool.
I had this one. I think I was, after some time away of getting wrestling magazines, I think this is one of the first ones I picked up in 91. So, and there's some good stories in here about, actually, one of my favorite stories, and I really want to find it because the story, my favorite stories of all time is Atlantic City Shocker, the horsemen crap out on Sid Vicious.
Oh.
Right? Because it's a story about how Sid Vicious was supposed to fight the Steiners, and for some reason, other horsemen ditch him, and so he has to team up with some jobber, and the jobber gets wasted, you know, gets beat up. And Sid beats up the jobber afterward.
Oh, and as he should have.
Yeah. As he should have. And it's this great, you know, it just ends. Like, I always remember how Sid was, the story ends with Sid on a plane and some kid goes up to him. And he's like, "Hey, Mr. Sid, can you sign my autograph?" And Sid signs it. And he's like, and the kid's like, "Where's the rest?" Something, it's a very like dramatic end. I forgot exactly how it ends, but it just ends very dramatically. And it's, I can't wait. I got to find this one. I love it. Roddy Piper Speaks Out from June 1992. It's a picture from I think it's from when he was probably doing They Live.
I think that was much after They Live.
You think so?
Yeah, They Live was like 87 or 88, whereas this is 92. It might have been when he was filming one of those other movies, like Mortal Kombat, spelt with a C. And he beats up a guy with a bag of doorknobs.
I like it.
And then skip to 97. You got the NW over. And I actually had that magazine.
I feel like I had it too.
Yeah.
Maybe I did. I don't know. 98, February 98, Hogan versus Sting.
I had that magazine as well. I remember bringing that to Sears, reading it in the break room.
July 2000, picture of Mick Foley, Cactus Jack with a barbed wire around his face. PWA 500 from Holiday 2000, just a really cool picture of Triple H doing his pose. April 2001, a big caricature of The Rock on the cover. July 2001, a nice picture of Trish Stratus.
And it's all women, I guess?
Yeah, women, it's a bunch of women's articles.
And then 2001 November, you have...
A Bloody Shane.
Bloody Shane McMahon.
And it says, the headline is, A Crying Shane.
Yeah.
This is back when they first got more Photoshop involved, because March 2002, it says, "No more joking, no more choking. Y2J takes a serious stab at superstardom." And it's just a, you know, looks like a WCW picture of Chris Jericho, but they have, like, a way that's blended and stuff. Looks really good.
It almost looks like he's wearing the red t-shirt, but he's not.
No, he could be. Yeah. And then, last but not least, it is March 2003. It says Rocky Horror, and it's a picture of The Rock screaming, and it's very much like a dark red hue
in
the background and stuff like that, and it looks really cool. And you could see pretty much to the back of his throat. It's a really good photo. So, yeah, and that's it.
That is it. That is the 25th anniversary of Pro Wrestling Illustrated. A lot of other stuff that we didn't cover, because there's just so much in here. So much going on.
Yeah, like, a lot of little minutia stuff that you can talk about in here. That just, it's, if you're an old school fan, you know, you'll dig it. You'll recognize a lot of stuff
like
in there.
Like the 25 most pathetic PWI stories. I know we talked a couple of those. And
we'd even touch on some of these.
Yeah. This is interesting. So the ancient secret that makes Hussein Arab invincible from December of 1980. But so they talk a little bit about that. But in retrospect, Stu Sachs, their publisher, has a framed copy of this story on his wall in his home.
Hussein Arab, aka Iron Sheik.
Yeah, he's invincible.
Yeah, he's got the A to the Z in him.
Yeah.
I'm certain it's a number of substances that made him invincible.
Yeah.
So... but that's it for this this magazine, and that's it for this week's episode. You can find us on Twitter. I'm at Angry Hero Sean, S-H-A-W-N. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and check me out there.
I'm on those as well, at Sweatpants Joe. Find us on Facebook, like our Facebook page, and subscribe to us on Apple iTunes, Apple Podcasts on iTunes. What used to be iTunes, it's Apple Podcasts. You know the drill.
Rate, subscribe.
Rate, subscribe. Review us 5 stars. Share us with all your friends.
Do it.
All your enemies, whomever you want to share it with.
Yeah, do that. And we would really appreciate that. And my other podcast, Worst Collection Ever, you can always check that out on iTunes or Apple Podcasts as well. So thanks for listening, folks, and we'll talk to you again soon.